Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
June 11th, 2022 is NorthexCon 2020. Ben Park Cafe, St. Louis, Missouri. Registration is open. Visit nlcast.com/Narthex for more information.
Rated E for everyone 10 and up.
There is more to life than making fart noises and laughing at those fart noises. I see that now.
Hey! This is that story show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people. This is That Story Show, where we bring you real-life stories from our listeners, and we put them in the spotlight. This is episode 405, brought to you the week of March 3rd, 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John. James, don't you hate it when... Do you hate it? Let me ask you this. Do you hate it when people answer their own questions? I do.
Sure.
Get it. You see what I did there? I answered my own question.
Oh, I got you. I thought there'd be a big story.
Nope, that's it.
Oh.
Don't you hate it when someone answers their own questions? I do.
All right. How'd you like my fart noises intro?
There is more to life than making fart noises and laughing at those fart noises. I see.
That was you?
Yeah, that was not me. That was from Gravity Falls season 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought somebody sent that in. I was like, that's some good talent there. Thank you.
We don't
usually get to thank the people that send those little clips in because we go right into our thing. But
That's true.
But no, thank you for getting that, James.
Thank you, Disney. Thank you, Disney. We appreciate it. It's great.
All audio is used on behalf of Creative Commons.
Well, all the snow has melted here in St. Louis, finally. All the ice, I should say. We had ice recently. And the temperature is above 70. It's a little warm in the car, but you forget, and so you still put on a coat. And it's weird. My car doesn't know what to do, whether to heat me or cool me. And we're glad to be here. We're glad to be doing an episode. And yes. What better way to start one off with our weekly rewind? Let's do it. Okay, so I have to ask you, I should have asked you this before the show. Did I talk about how I got to save Jenna?
Yeah.
Oh,
her car troubles.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. You did. All right. Making sure.
That one.
All right. So I have two stories from the last few days or so. One of them is pretty simple, so I'll get it out of the way. My wife and I were at dinner last night, and it's this place we go to called Seiberg's, and it's a bar and a restaurant kind of combined, you know, like your Applebee's or whatever, but it's but
Seiberg's.
We like it there. It's a great atmosphere and all this kind of stuff. And my wife's talking to me. She's telling me about her friend who has a baby. A little one that just barely talks.
Aww.
And her and the baby are home alone, apparently, the coworker, you know, and the baby. And the baby starts staring at the wall. Kind of freaks out the mom,
Really?
And the baby says, what's her name? And just prickles go up and down the mom's neck. It's like, whose name? She said, the witch.
Oh, stop it. We need to send that into Monsters Among Us because that's a scary story.
And the mom's like, what color is the witch, honey? The baby says, white.
What's going on? Just tell me this isn't scary.
And so the mom goes over to the baby to see what she's looking at. And she's like, what's her name? And she's like, where is the witch, honey? And she points.
Where is she?
There's this shadow coming off the TV and the entertainment center that's crossing the wall. And there's a clear outline of what looks like a person with a witch hat on.
Okay, does the shadow move?
No, it does not. But okay, it was, I mean, the woman was like, obviously for a full 30 seconds thinking this baby's seeing something that nobody else is seeing. Just like in the movies, you know.
Animals see things that we can't, or we don't, or something like that. More in tune to, you know, sometimes the spiritual world or something. I don't know, but
right.
I hear stories like that on that podcast that I listen to a lot of, and it freaks me out.
Okay, my second one's it happened the same night. I was right in the middle of dinner. I go to use the restroom, and we have, even though it's a bar, we've never had any negative, you know, experiences there. It's a, you know, a friendly place. It's a dining room as much as it is a bar, like I said. But the bathrooms, you know, are where the bar and the dining room come together. And again, I've never had any issues. I've often wondered, you know, what if I bumped into one of these guys? Would it be like in the movies? Hey, what are you doing? Get off of me, papa. And then a big fight starts, you know, and breaks out.
One of those kind of bars.
Yeah, I it's not one of those kind, but I often wonder if it would be. You know, if it, you know, cause I have no experience with bars other than this one. So, well, everyone I've ever been into has been chill, like surprisingly chill, not like the movies at all. So anyway, but I go in the bathroom and it's a very small bathroom. There's a urinal and a stall and there's a guy in the stall. So I go to the urinal and I'm well into what I'm doing before I realize what's going on. This dude is puking up his lungs.
Oh man.
And it is horrible. First of all, I didn't realize what I was hearing because I could tell he was facing the toilet and it sounded like somebody taking a massive dump.
Oh, gross.
And so the race was on because he pukes and then he spits and he's breathing hard.
Oh no.
And I'm like, I don't want to smell this. I don't want to smell it. I'll throw up too. No, so I'm trying to go as fast as I can. I'm zipping up my pants. He goes again. And I hear it come up and spill out onto the toilet. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going to get got by this anyway, even though I don't smell it. And I go and I wash my hands and I will admit, I just wet them and put them underneath the paper towels, dude. I did not use soap. I did not rub him. I did the germs on my hands just got a little spritz and they were just like, thank you so much for not destroying us. Cause I was getting the heck out of there. Cause again, it was just, whoa.
Oh no. I'm feeling a little queasy.
I know it was horrible. And then I had to go back to my dinner and I'm like, you would not believe, what I just experienced, spouse. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was terrible.
Well, there's a couple things that come to mind. One, hopefully he wasn't eating on the same side as you and he got something bad that made him that way.
I think he was over in, you know, I think he had too many drinks.
Overindulged. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he came from the other side of the restaurant.
Yes.
Right? He's a touch inebriated perhaps, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, poor guy. feel sorry for them. Hope you didn't get anything on your shoes.
No, it did not. It was so bad. It was so bad. So gross. So, yeah. What's going on in your world?
Oh, man. I have a few things that I could talk about, but I don't want to take too long, but I've got a couple things here. So over the weekend, last weekend, my youngest son, James, was inducted into the Frontiersman Camping Fellowship.
Oh, so wow.
Every male in my household is now a Frontiersman LARPer.
Yay! Y'all don't call it that, though, do you?
No, we don't. No. We call it period correct camping.
Okay.
Or we call it a spring trace is what this one was. So, and then the fall, they do a fall trek, and then they do a fall something else.
So for those that don't know, this is like a camping group, and you pick up a trade, don't you?
You do pick a trade. You pick a persona as well. So it's anything between the late 1700s and early 1800s. So okay. our tents, so to speak, we call them lodges. Okay. Our lodges are okay. Are period correct, correct to the time frame. So the clothing that we wear is supposed to be correct to the time frame that we represent or our persona is. And then we have different people in our group that have different trades. Like some people do leather working and some people do woodworking. Some people do, we don't have any tinsmiths. Blacksmithing. Yeah, we've got a couple guys that do that. So it is it is a lot of fun.
And you have an alter ego too, like a name.
Right. So we do. We have names. They called me Mockingbird.
Yes, I was gonna say if I could remember it. I thought that was the one I came up with. It was Mockingbird.
Yeah, and that was because I have a tendency to imitate things and people's voices and stuff. So they call me Mockingbird. And then in keeping in tradition, Johnny, we named him Jaybird because when he was a very young boy, he used to run around the house without his clothing.
Oh.
And so, you know, the title Naked as a Jaybird came up.
That's,
and then,
that's great.
And that'll
age well.
Yeah. It's a good one. and youngest James, he got his name over the weekend because he's found a new interest in musical theater.
Uh-huh.
We named him Songbird.
Boy.
So once we go up a level, though, we can change our name.
We're doing real LARPing and we have to battle another another group. I don't want to be called Songbird.
Songbird, sing your song of justice against these evil foes.
Lighten our hearts and our woes as we engage in period correct trench warfare. You know, I don't know. Throw that period correct grenade. Songbird. Yeah.
Well, por favor.
I'm glad you guys have that. I'm glad that that's a thing y'all do. And I'm glad cool. I don't. Because nothing
Come
sounds...
on, man.
No, it just sounds terrible to me. I
like, no, it's no offense. It just sounds lame. That's all. You're pretty much a loser, John.
I'm so sorry. No, it's not like that. Kidding. I think it's but camping. Like, I hate camping. So I'm out just based on that right there alone, you know?
Oh.
And then I never even joined like Promise Keepers when it was like really, really cool to join Promise Keepers because I was just like, I'm not joining anything stupid.
Bunch of men hugging each other.
Yeah, I don't join things, you know? Like, my wife started this thing last night at the table. She's like, we're like cool two people. We're she was trying to be like all, I don't know, like not romantic, but just cutesy. And she was saying, we're Camp Kennison, just me and you. And I was like, aww, nope.
Camp Kennison.
I am not a part of Camp Kennison.
I just left the camp, my dear.
So later on, she brings it up again. She's like, so where are you sure you don't want to join Camp Kennison? I said, I got bad news. I said, I said, I do have Camp Kennison, but I'm going to break your little heart because I'm the only one in it. And she, like, her forehead hit the table. She was so upset. And she's like, no. I'm like, yeah. And it's the cool Camp Kennison, and it's really great. So about 20 minutes in the meal, she comes back to it, and she's like, I want to be part of it. She starts talking, like, hinting, you know, toward being in the camp. And I'm like, I got bad news for you again. It's going to break your heart again. I closed the camp. It's destroyed.
It's been closed.
There's no chance. And she's like, no.
The camp is underwater right now. There's nothing you could do about it.
And I'm like, you realize the only reason why I was able to do this is because you created it, and you allowed me to steal it from you and then have control over it and then shut it down. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're right. She's like, I'm starting it up. And I'm in it, and you're not. And I'm like, I don't care.
That's where I wanted to be in the first place, my dear.
So, anyway, this is how we talk to each other on dates. Is we tease each other relentlessly. So,
at a place called Cybergs.
Cybergs.
You know what I think of whenever you bring that name up?
Sharks.
I think that all the waiters and waitresses are like half person, half machine.
Oh, it
sounds like Cyborg to me.
Yeah, is your food, sir?
Yeah, no, it's really a chill place. It's like Cheers, you know, like the bar in Cheers. It's
They say your name when you walk in?
Not yet, but I think if we going, we'll get a name soon enough.
That's awesome.
So, what do you think my name would be if I joined the Frontiersman group? What would you name me? What would be my persona? Wow.
Let's see. Well, a lot of times your name gets picked on, or your name gets chosen by what you do during that spring trace, you know.
Well, I'm mostly a butthole. So how about,
well, you're not supposed to talk during they have a stick called a silent stick that you have to wear. And when you have a question or something, and if you do talk without being given permission, then they notch your stick.
So it's a cult. So,
yes.
I didn't know that. I'm interested now. I'm down with that.
We might be calling you Notches because of all the notches you'd have in your stick.
I can handle that. That would be a good name. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Let's welcome Notches to the group.
Hey, everybody. I'm Notches. I'm still wearing the stick. Notch, notch, notch. You know,
I done carved it into a tree.
Yeah.
Or something other fancy.
It looks like a Christmas tree. It's got so many cuts in it. That's great.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
It would be. Well, I want to take a second, just a second, and thank Jacob Holloway. He's one of our patrons, and he was a $5 patron. And for some reason, he decided to double his monthly patronage.
What?
$10 a month. And I'm like,
thanks, Jacob.
That's what I said. I was like, thanks, dude. He's like, no, thank you. You know, you guys are awesome and blah, blah, blah. And I wish I could give you $1,000, and I wish you could. And
yeah,
it would be great.
I wish you could too.
So
that would be crazy.
And then Colleen Klein became a $5 patron this week. And so we want to say thanks. And if you want to become a patron and support the show, it's really easy. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And for as little as a dollar a month, you can support us, and you get access to all the bonus stories that we do in the bonus contest section. And
at least once a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes less.
Every week that I know of, we do a bonus content. And not only do you get access to future content, you get access to the archives too, because you get your own RSS feed that includes all of the bonus content that we've made. And I don't know, people sign up and they never leave. They just love it. So it must be something to it. Well, anyway, thanks patrons for your support. One thing I will brag on with my patrons is I was on our Discord server that you can get access to if you go to the website, nlcast.com, click on community, and there'll be a Discord link. But I was in the gaming and computer section, and I said, the first person that responds to this gets a free Steam game.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so somebody responded, and I said, okay, pick out a game. And they picked out this $14 game. I said, is that all? I was like, you got 5 minutes. Find some more games. Because I had an amount in mind, you know. And yeah. And they ended up getting three games, about $50 worth of games for free.
Oh.
And then I said, you know, we should do this again this sometime. How about now? The first person that can tell me what year we started podcasting in gets a game. And
nice.
People were guessing 2007, 2006, and they had it right at 2006. So I got them a game. And I was like, that's all because of our patrons. We can do special things like, you know, like that. So it's a lot of fun. So
I'm going to have to get on Discord more often.
Yeah.
See if I can,
score a game. Yeah. So anyway, let's do our stories. Let's do those stories. They're listener stories.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com. And get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This one's called Green Bean Burn, and it's everything it sounds like it is. Hey, James and John, I love the podcast. I have listened to every episode, and I haven't heard one I don't like yet. That surprises me.
Goody.
He's listened to every one of them, all 403.
That's crazy. And I know this story sounds fake, but I have photo proof. Yes, he did. He sent photos, and they were terrible. I'm glad I can't share them over the podcast.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll get to the story. I'm going to tell you about the Christmas Eve I will never forget. It all starts in the car, and me and my mom and my sister were on the way to a Christmas party, and I was holding a crock pot full of hot green beans between my feet. Meanwhile, my dad was at home waiting for the delivery of two recliner chairs. And when they got there, he called my mom and they started fussing over the phone over where the recliners should go. And my mom got so distracted with my dad, she didn't see that a car was on the wrong side of the road heading right towards us. After she saw it, to avoid a head-on collision, my mom swerved. And the green beans I was holding between my feet spilled all over me. And after a couple of minutes of screaming, it turned out that I ended up with second and third degree burns all over my feet. The photos were horrible.
It
was like steak.
Oh, that's like blisters. Second degree is blisters, right?
Yeah. And third degree means your skin's gone. So,
No.
So we hurried back home and I got to sit in the brand new recliners for 3 weeks because I couldn't walk.
Oh, nice.
That's
but
Christmas.
Sorry about the feet.
Yeah. That's Christmas. That's the Christmas Eve I will never forget. Right. I hope this makes it on the show. Michael Phillips from Stockbridge, Georgia, age 16.
Hey.
And I hope everything healed up good.
Yeah. Hope Michael, sorry about that. We should meet up in Atlanta sometime.
Yeah.
See your scars on your feet.
Gosh, the pictures he sent, though, man, I'm telling you, it was like somebody just painted his foot red. Just,
it's the worst.
It was gross. So, yeah.
And I know that mom probably felt terrible.
Of course, it really
wasn't her fault.
No.
It was the guy who was in the wrong lane or the person in the wrong lane.
I mean, she was on the phone.
She was on the phone. And she was fussing. and distracted.
Yeah, fussing is something you only do in Georgia. You can't fuss at anybody anywhere else. But
really?
Georgia,
no other. You don't have fussing in Missouri.
No. Fussing. Fussing.
Oh, that's right. In Georgia, St. Louis, it's called cussing.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
No doubt. No doubt at all. Yeah. No. I. Everybody knows about my story of getting a fiery marshmallow stuck to my face. So I don't like burn stories because they're terrible. And
burns aren't good.
I still have a little spot on my face that won't grow facial hair, but it's because it just burned all the skin off. So
yeah, y'all, everybody listening, you need to come to NarthexCon 2020 so that you can get your picture with James's
bald spot
on his face.
Yeah,
sorry, that's not funny.
We'll just get in close.
Here it is. There's the little scar.
So yeah. Speaking of which, we got a lot of people signing up for good old NarthexCon. I'm excited. Yeah,
me too.
We got some names from people that I know that have sent in stories, and for instance, not Wyo Kid. What's his name? I can't remember. But he's coming from Kansas, and he's sending lots of stories to Red School Bus and that story show, and him and his dad are coming down, and it's awesome. Some folks from last time are going to make their way back, and it's just going to be good. Plus, John will be there.
I'll be there.
It'll be so much fun. It's
going to be great. So will Songbird and Jaybird.
Yeah.
And my wife will be there.
Yay!
Yeah, all four of us. So you'll look at her and you'll say, "Oh my goodness, this poor woman has to put up with these three guys all the time." Anyways, I got a story from James Wyman. You remember that guy?
Yeah.
This is all about glass cleaning. That's the name of this story.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. This is a story from a long time ago, about 1990. When my brother-in-law, JP, was about 2 years old. He was at Nordstrom with his mom and his Aunt Teresa. The two women were happily pursuing the makeup and perfume counter. I can smell it now. You know, the nice glass ones that have everything displayed and lit up inside?
Yeah, pursuing.
They just kind of attract you like a bug is attracted to the light.
Yep,
pursuing. Well, JP, of course.
Pursuing it as if, like, the light, yeah.
Yeah. JP, of course, was bored just standing in front of a display filled with nothing to offer a small boy. So he looked for anything to stay busy. As his mom was walking around the crystal clear case, she came to a part that was less crystal and a little bit smudgy. Little boy handprints were everywhere, along with what looked like a huge slug trail. At the end of the trail, there was JP slowly walking with his tongue pressed against the glass. Seemingly determined to circle the entire display.
Amen, yeah.
Gross. His mom, thinking fast, took a few large steps away from JP, making Teresa closer to him, and she exclaimed, "Teresa, what is your son doing?" Teresa, who was still just a teenager at the time, couldn't even talk from being so embarrassed. But Teresa eventually found her voice, and she is now quick to defend herself these days.
Yeah.
Well, hope you enjoyed one of our favorite family stories.
That's great. Yeah. With a mom like that, you'd have to be. That was genius.
What is your son doing? Yeah. Thanks for sending that in, James. That was good.
That was good. It's good stuff. Oh, man. As a child, though, was there anything worse than shopping with your mom? Like,
no.
Like for clothes or for anything. My mom always just take us to this giant Sears store, and I'd just be so bored. There was no toy section, you know, and if there was, we never saw it. It was all clothes and racks and stuff. And so you started hiding, you know, inside the racks, especially the circle ones. Those were fun.
Yeah, that was what I did that.
And people would start peeking in through the jeans, you know.
Still do it.
Still do it.
What I hated the most was with my mom, because I was, you know, I have a brother who's older than me, but it seemed like he never went shopping with us. And was always with my sisters, and they would go shopping for underwear, and that was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or that I think they would intentionally walk through the underwear aisle so that I would cringe, like, I don't want to go through here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That, she'd be like, you're 16 years old. You can deal with it.
That's like our Target, our local Target. When COVID was at its height, they rearranged the entrance to where you couldn't walk in. There usually at Targets, there's a spot where you walk straight to the back of the store, or depending on how it's set up, you could walk right or left to go across the store, you know, and they blocked that off to where you had to go straight back. Well, I wasn't going to go all the way back to go right, you know, or left. So I would duck through the clothing. But unfortunately, the clothing that is right there in front was little girl clothes. And I'd always end up walking right through the little girl underwear aisle. And I was like, let me just get through this. You know,
I'm just going to walk real fast.
It was terrible.
Not stopping to browse at all.
Not looking at nothing. My Little Pony. Friendship is magic. Accidentally saw that pair of drawers. You know.
It was terrible. Oh, man.
It was the worst. But anyway, I've got a story called Replacement Picture. And it's a little bit long, but it is good. Liam Seeley sent it in. He says, back when I was 8 years old, our church had this kids program called Anchored. It was basically our version of Awana that we did every Tuesday night. And it's just a kids program. Yeah. So on one particular night, there was a competition, and all the kids, including myself, lined up in the sanctuary. We were given a picture of an anchor that we were supposed to color in with whatever colors we wanted. And I was so excited because the prize was a big bag of Skittles.
Yeah.
And I love Skittles, and I wanted to win so I could get them. So I ran through ideas on my head on what could make my anchor better than all the others. And I looked around at the other kids' drawings and their anchors, and they were using random colors like pink and yellow and orange to fill them in. And after seeing this, I knew what would make me win the competition. I would take my anchor and make it look as realistic as possible. And that would for sure make me win the competition. After I was finished, I was very proud of myself, and I thought my picture looked great, and I was sure the judges would agree. So when it came down to announce the winner of my grade, I had goosebumps. I was going to win. I would get to eat the Skittles. Sadly, this did not turn out the way I had hoped. Another person's name was called, did not get the Skittles.
No.
I was heartbroken. The judges were so impressed with this other person's picture that they even hung it up on the billboard in the entryway. And I started to get kind of angry. I should have won. It's not fair. I decided that this was not the end. If I couldn't get the Skittles, I could at least get my picture hung on the billboard. So
yes,
after we all went to the sanctuary for the lesson part, I said I had to use the bathroom. So I left the sanctuary pretending I was going. That's not where I was going, though. I went to that billboard, and I grabbed that winning picture, and I tore it up into a million pieces. Oh, no. Yeah.
Tore it up into a million pieces.
So determined. He's so determined. I would be so scared. There's no way. And then I proceeded to hang my picture up in place. So there's your evidence right there. Yeah, I wonder who did this.
Yeah.
After all,
Liam.
After that, I just left, leaving all the evidence behind. Later that night, when the lesson was over, the kid who won had to go home, and he walked right past the billboard. He saw his torn up picture on the floor, and he screamed and cried until someone came to comfort him. It wasn't too hard to figure out what had happened here. And I got in huge trouble with my parents and had to apologize to the boy whose picture I had torn up. Liam Seeley, you got off easy, Liam Seeley. You got off easy.
You did.
Mom would have torn me up.
All you had to do was apologize?
Shoot. I'd have torn up pictures, too, if all I had to do was apologize. That's easy.
We would have gotten beat, man. Not beat. No child abuse.
Yeah.
But we would have.
Yeah. We would have been properly and thoroughly spanked. So.
Yeah. We would have had a hard time sitting down later, unless we had a book in our butt.
Yeah. I can't believe the audacity, man. Just walk up, rip it off, tear it into pieces. It'd be another. See, even if I tried this, I would make sure to preserve the artwork.
And yeah, yeah.
So that later, if anybody had a problem with it, it could be reversed and there would be less trouble. But no, man, he just did it, dude. The whole
thing. I would have probably put my picture over top of the other kids.
Yeah. John, so. We all know what you would have done. You would have put a little good job sticker on the winner's page and torn your own up because it wasn't worthy. It wasn't good enough. And you would have apologized to the judges for having to waste their time with your entry. That's what would have happened.
My entry was truly garbage. I'm sorry that you even had to look at it.
I will never eat another Skittle in solidarity of your decision. So
yeah. Skittles are gross anyway. Congratulations, you jerk.
Sorry for calling you a jerk.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing.
So.
Oh man. Well, you know, let's move on to something that won't get anybody in trouble, hopefully. I love this story, by the way.
Yeah,
this
is great.
This is good. This comes to us from Laura Hollingsworth. And this is all about a giant Jar Jar. Giant Jar Jar of what, you may ask? Well, let's find out. My grown cousin is a big Star Wars geek. At the premiere of the first prequel movie, they raffled off various valuable collectibles. He won the best collectible of all, a 7-foot-tall rubber replica of Jar Jar Binks.
Wow.
Could you imagine, James?
I would be so thrilled.
I mean, you would be the envy of all neighborhoods, all of them. This Jar Jar was reportedly worth $3,000.
And I'd be finding out too, because I'd be putting that thing on eBay the very next day.
I see. When did that prequel come out? That was 90.
It was
99,
I think, because I had just moved to Kansas City and I got called back to come do a job for an internet service provider. So,
that's, I remember it. I waited in line to get tickets. But here in my part of Georgia, you know, we only had one theater at the time, and it wasn't really hard to wait in line to get tickets. Anyways, let's move on because this gets so good. My cousin didn't have enough room at the time, so my other cousins agreed to keep it for him until he had the space to accommodate it. Years went by. Years, James.
Imagine that.
Imagine. The Jar Jar owner lived in several locations that could house it, but whenever prompted, he would repeatedly make excuses as to why he couldn't retrieve it yet. Meanwhile, the Jar Jar keepers were at a loss for what to do with this monstrosity in their home. That would be kind of freaky, actually.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to walk in on that in the dark. You know?
Walk around the corner. Oh, no! They eventually placed it in their game room at a large second-story window. Perfect. At night, you could only see the silhouette of this giant, unnerving creature looking down menacingly upon the neighborhood. Well, more years went by. Come get your Jar Jar! And the response they would get is, well, you see, I can't right now because... And repeat. Finally, the Jar Jar keepers had had enough. They were having a yard sale, and on a whim, my uncle decided to take Jar Jar down because he'd be a great way to attract attention. If someone wanted to buy it, well, so be it. Well, two neighborhood boys inquired about how much it was, and my uncle said $50.
Wow.
And these boys ran back home as fast as they could to ask their poor, unsuspecting parents for the money. They, however, returned with only $25. But my uncle said, sold. The boys got a wagon to lug the thing home. And the last glimpse of Jar Jar forever lives in my mind. The view is of a normal sunny neighborhood. Both boys and a wagon are obscured by the bushes. The giant Jar Jar Binks appears to move on its own accord, hovering into the distance. Well, story doesn't end here, James. The former Jar Jar owner was extremely ticked off, but he had plenty of opportunities to avoid this outcome.
Yeah.
The morality is a bit iffy, but the Jar Jar keepers got rid of their unwelcome ward, and those boys got the deal of a lifetime. Excellent story, Laura. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad Jar Jar found a way into the hearts and lives of those kids.
It's yeah, great. Man. Can you imagine being a kid? I got a 7-foot Jar Jar Binks. He's the best.
And the parents
this
are like,
going to take a Jar Jar.
Parents are like, oh, they found a Jar Jar figure. That's nice. That's
for $50. Are you crazy? Yeah. Here's 25.
Yeah, see if they'll take 25. And then they come home with the 6-foot tall monstrosity. I bet the parents were wishing they had done due diligence there before they.
Oh, they probably did do due diligence right afterwards and found out he was worth $3,000 and thought, yeah, college fund.
That's true. That's true. Ever tell you about the time I was at a yard sale and I, there was a projector there. It was a old projector, like a video projector. It used bulbs and stuff to somehow get video up on a screen. And, I had seen it in use before because I'd gone to this guy's, the yard sale guy's house on Halloween and he was using it to project spooky stuff behind him when he would open the door. And I thought, man, I'll buy this thing. It's, you know, $25-$30 or whatever. And I'll use it to put video games up on the wall. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And I just happened to look that thing up on eBay and they were selling for $300. And, when I got home, I listed that joker and I got $350 for it.
Oh,
and I took that $350 and I went down to the local Apple store and I bought my first iPod.
Well, there you go.
That I still own. So
that's awesome.
It doesn't work anymore because the battery's dead, but it was great. It was a great piece of technology. But anyway, yeah, the things happen, man. This is called The Great Escape and it is by David Kramer. And it goes like this. A few summers ago, a remarkably scary occurrence happened to me. It almost killed me. And when it ended, I was a changed tween. Luckily, there were plenty of lifeguards around. So even if I had sunk to the bottom, I would have been resuscitated eventually. We were at the Great Escape Water Park at the best time of the year, the day before Thanksgiving when the rates couldn't have been cheaper. Unfortunately, several hundred other people had the same idea. And as a result, in the Lazy River, there were enough floating inner tubes for only about a quarter of the people in the Lazy River. The rest of us just sort of walked in the Lazy River, enviously eyeing the people who were fortunate enough to have a tube. Luckily, the lifeguards didn't care whether you had a tube or not, so no one was worried about getting in trouble or anything like that. In case you didn't know, a lazy river is powered by pairs of super powerful jets of water that are roughly about every 100 feet. These jets are mounted parallel with the water and about 1 foot underneath the surface, and they are flush with the walls of the river. Well, as every 10-year-old knows, if you put yourself right in front of one of those jets, you get pushed forward about 5 feet without any work on your part, and it's pretty fun.
Yes.
In this water park, there was really only one area that had jets, even though the length of the river was about 300 feet. So to compensate, the water park had made the jets 30 times more powerful. That meant when you were pushed by these jets, you went about 35 feet with no work on your part at all. So my sister, my brother, and I quickly learned how to exploit the system, and we were soon flying around the Lazy River until we weren't. After a particularly fast trip, we noticed up ahead near the jets that there was a bit of a clog up. There were about 10 or 15 people with inner tubes, and they had gotten themselves stuck under a bridge. They were shoved in so tightly and close together that they couldn't move. And we didn't care, though. So we continued toward the jets. To make my point clear, in front of me were the jets. And about 1 foot in front of the jets was the traffic jam. Showing my vast reserve of knowledge, I decided to jump in front of one of the jets, and immediately I was wrenched forward, causing cruising on the power of the jets. And I turned around and smiled at my siblings. Ha ha ha. I thought, who's the cool one now? What if, and the world went dark and cold. Suddenly I couldn't breathe. I tried to, but I only inhaled some heavily chlorinated water. I tried to surface, but there was this literal oppressive weight on my shoulders and head. Oh, finally, a hand found my hand. My sister's? Yes. Yes, it was. She pulled me up from the dark depths of the lazy river, and I broke the surface of the water, and I coughed up some water and inhaled some oxygen. I was alive, and concernedly, not one lifeguard had witnessed my peril. Apparently, what had happened was when I was cruising down the river with my back turned, I crashed into a particularly large person in an inner tube, and she outweighed me and also couldn't move. So I slammed into her inner tube and was redirected down, down, down under the inner tube, powered by my own inertia and the super powerful jets. And I floundered there for about 5 to 10 seconds until my sister saved me. Shaken but not stirred, I drifted to the rest of the river to the exit, where I found a comfortable chair to sit and calm my adrenaline high. Unfortunately, we never returned to the water park, but if we ever do, I know which ride I'm not doing, and that's final. An unintended result of this accident was that for a few years after, I became known in my family as the one who got sucked into some lady's butt. Luckily, I think that everyone has finally moved on from that joke. Well,
not anymore.
Not anymore.
Oh, man. Hey, you know David. He's the guy that got sucked into some lady's butt.
David Kramer, more like David Crack. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I can't think of something witty either. That's almost an obscene thing to be known by. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I just love that there's some lady and she was just relaxing, you know, just chilling. And all of a sudden his head starts butting her from underneath.
Woo! What's going on back there?
Somebody's drowning. I can't be bothered to move.
No, I'm stuck in this float jam.
Oh, yeah.
Poor David.
The lazy river is supposed to be the safest thing at the water park, but
not unless it's crowded, I guess.
Not when you're a dumb kid, you know. When you're a dumb kid, things can happen. So,
yikes. Well, I've got a story here from Abigail. This is the Butte.
Oh.
Butte. Right.
Okay.
Butte. We'll find out why. My mom, brothers, and I were in the car. My mom was telling us about some of her traveling experience. She says, and next to the regular toilet is a bidet, except she didn't say bidet. She pronounced it Boudé. Boudé. As my mom continued telling her story, my brother started snickering like James beside me in the back seat. Boudé. Sounded like a fancy French version for the word booty.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny too, but I didn't want to embarrass my mom.
No.
This good girl, Abigail. So instead of laughing, I said, Mom, I've also heard it pronounced bidé, which is a little better, right? However, this only encouraged my brothers, and they repeatedly said boudé, boutte, and booty in fancy French accents amidst the uproarious laughter. Boudé, let me tell you about the boutte. My mom, realizing her mistake, laughed too. Now, bidé in my house has become code for bottom. For example, get your bidé over here, or I worked my bidé off last night. I hope this made you laugh,
yeah,
Abigail.
It did. I liked it.
Good one.
I liked it. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. That's a good one. Yeah, that deserves a cheer.
Oh, poor David Kramer knows about that bidet. From the previous story.
He got stuck in some lady's bidet.
He almost died due to bidet. How do you handle that funeral?
Right. Where you get to heaven and you're like, so how did you pass on? I got stuck under some lady's bidet.
And do you go to the funeral if you're the lady that caused the death?
Oh, man.
And how do you know the deceased? Well, I deceased him. But with this,
my butt.
I don't know.
You might have to put a warning at the beginning of this show.
No, that's still good. All right, this is called Dogs on Ice. Mike writes it in. He says, I grew up next to a small pond which would freeze thick and enough to skate on. Lucky dog.
Ooh.
I tried to say dog and duck at the same time. It didn't work. In addition to my family, yeah, two of our dogs would join us, a fox terrier and a Doberman pincher. The game I would play with the dogs was catch you, catch me. And the fox terrier could not run as fast as I could skate, so he'd be running away from me. Not in a gallop, but in one of those trots you do when you're on a slippery surface, except really fast. And I would have my legs spread apart with my arms and hands hanging down saying, I'm going to get you. Coming up behind him to grab and tickle him. And he would be trying to look behind himself, one side, then the other, trying to see how close I was. And I was, growling and, but still running in that ridiculous fast trot. So, anyway, on the other hand, the tides would turn when the Dobby, which was much faster than me, even on the ice, got a head of steam when he was full tilt boogie. So I would let her get a few inches of my, within a few inches of my butt.
Bidet.
Yeah, my bidet. And hearing her barking and snapping jaws and me doing the same thing the terrier did, glancing behind me side to side to gauge the distance. And then at the last moment, I'd heel into the hardest turn that I could make. And she'd go skidding off nails and dragging and everything. And then she would start that cartoonish gallop where you don't go anywhere to try to catch up to me. Did she ever get the satisfaction of nipping me in the butt? Yes. I deserved it for all the frustration I put her through, Mike.
Nice. Nice.
Doggies deserve all of the attention that they get.
Yeah. They deserve the opportunity to bite your bidet.
Yeah, especially if you've been teasing them. I told you, we got two dogs. One's name's Moffat. He's a nice dog. He's a good dog. He's not a real dog because he doesn't do anything dog-like. And then we got Leia, the dog I hate. And she is evil. She, every day, I try to give her outside the crate time, you know, because I'm not inhumane. But right. Every day when I come up from the basement, she's got a sock. Mm-hmm. And that means she's been upstairs in somebody's room and has rifled through the dirty clothes. And she always has it in her mouth to show me. Like, look what I found. And she wants my approval. She's never going to get it. And it's been years.
It's a little slow.
She's so bad. It's like she, I don't know, but she's not smart enough to hide the thing somewhere and go chew it up. She carries it around like, hey, be proud of me. I found this stinky thing that I love.
This is my sock.
Yeah. Oh, so dumb. So, anyway.
So yeah, have you kicked that dog's bidet yet?
Oh, I want to, but I'm not abusive to the dogs. I want them to be happy and safe and healthy. I just don't like them, you know.
You just don't want them to be stupid.
Yeah. Quit being a dummy. So anyway, we love your stories, if you can't tell. That's kind of what we do here. And surely you have a funny life story. Maybe you thought of one today. Whatever your story is, send it. Email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is our website. Review the show at review.nlcast.com. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do. Get more from your favorite podcast. You know, bonus stories, stickers, and more. Patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, John.
Bye, James.
Make sure that, make sure you take care of, well, just insert bidet joke here. That's pretty much what I wanted to
cover your bidet.
Yeah. Yeah. Take care of yourself.
Man, I fell down the other day and right on my bidet, and it just, I think I cracked it.
My bidet woke me up last night. I farted so loud, I woke myself up. And I was so scared, I woke my wife up because I was like, what? You know, I want her to kiss and hug me again, you know?
No, that's not true.
And if I wake her up with a fart, she'll never touch me again.
That should have been your weekly update.
I know. It'll reward people that finish the show. How about that?
Yes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.